Today's scripture reading is taken from chapter 16 of Proverbs, verses 17 through 18. If you do not have a Bible of your own, we encourage you to take one under the chair in front of you, and that you would read God's word. Through God's word, his son Jesus Christ is revealed, who is the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. Now, beginning in verse 17. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen.
Many of you know that I have a great fondness for flashlights. I have flashlights everywhere. I have four in my car, which doesn't include the two that are in the toolbox in my car. I have flashlights in luggage for traveling, flashlights in the house in case there's a power failure. I have in my van, the instrument panel lights went out, and so now I have a flashlight strapped to my steering column so I can see the panel at night. I have two 3 million candle power lights should the entire county lose power. And I have other ones that I won't belabor at this point. But I also have a fondness for maps. I love maps, always have. Maps were one of the first collections that I started as a child, along with coins and postcards. Remember when gas stations used to give maps away for free? They had a rack there, right, where you paid, and you could just take maps whenever you wanted to, as many as you wanted to. I took lots of them. I have maps that were printed when Exxon was still Esso, and before the interstate highway system was built. So it's interesting to look at some of those maps, and, you know, you just have these little tiny roads going across the country. I have a map on which there is an ad for a three-course meal at McDonald's for 52 cents. That was the regular price. And I joined AAA several years ago, not for the reason that most people do, for emergency road service. I joined, yes, for the free maps. I like maps because I like to see where I'm going before I get there. And I like to know where I am when I'm not where I'm supposed to be. This section of Proverbs 16 begins with a statement about a highway, which is why I thought of maps. I don't have any idea why I thought of flashlights. But let's look at these two verses and see what wisdom we can acquire for the 21st century. We see in verse 17, the highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Now, a highway is simply a way of traveling. It's the road you're on. It's your means of getting from point A to point B. Now, all roads lead somewhere, so it's important that we know what road we're on. Even a dead end leads somewhere. It just doesn't lead where we want it to. But verse 17 speaks of a particular kind of road or highway. It's the highway of the upright. Now, the upright is not the name of the highway, like Ulster Avenue or Route 66. Now, some roads, as you know, are named because of characteristics of the road itself, like Hill Street or Canal Street. And some roads have taken on literary meaning, like Easy Street or Dead End Street. But the highway of the upright refers not to the name of the road itself, but to the people traveling on it. The proverb is saying that those who are upright travel on highways that avoid evil. Those who are upright travel on roads that don't lead them into evil. And evil in this verse doesn't just refer to sinful behavior, which it does, but it also refers to calamity. In other words, the upright travel on roads that don't lead them into calamity or disaster or trouble. But remember, the Proverbs are not guarantees. They're principles. And the principle is that the way of the upright, all things being equal, the way that the upright travel, the road they're on, the highway they travel, keeps them out of trouble and calamity and disaster and danger. But who exactly are the upright, we should ask? Well, the Proverbs tell us in many places who the upright are, but here are a couple. Proverbs 14, verse 2 says, "He whose walk is upright fears the Lord." So an upright person is one who fears the Lord, who has reverential respect for God, who obeys God, who honors God. Proverbs 21, verse 8 says, "The way of the guilty is devious, but the conduct of the innocent is upright." Here, the upright is contrasted with the devious and guilty. So, the upright is one who is forthright and innocent. The idea is that the way of the upright, the way the upright travels, keeps them out of evil's presence. Now, this is a figure of speech, of course, but the truth that the figure illustrates is quite real. Those who are upright don't travel in directions and on roads that lead them into evil. And the way they travel tends to keep them out of trouble. The road they're traveling on avoids evil, and because they're traveling on that road, they avoid evil as well. Now, the second half of the verse is really a reiteration of the first half. He who guards his way guards his life. A consistent biblical theme is that we are much more likely to resist evil if we stay out of its presence. It's the idea of the first psalm, which says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." It's the idea of 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." It's why Proverbs 4:14 says, "Do not set your foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men." To guard your way, as this verse says, means to consider the way you're traveling and make provision for safety. Now, to stay on the highway theme, it would mean that we would make sure that the road we're traveling is safe. Is there a bridge out ahead? Is there flash flooding? Does the road have tire hazards that could cause a blowout? And then you have to go see Mr. Van Cleek. Is the road known for accidents? Does it have a reputation for being a dangerous road? Is it safe? When you guard your way on the road, you're really guarding your life, because a highway can be a dangerous place. So if we take measures to guard our way that we're traveling, in essence, we're guarding our life itself. Likewise, if you're careful to make sure that the direction that you're traveling in life is a safe one, if you make provision for the way you're proceeding, if you are careful to follow a path that considers the potential hazards, then you're doing more than just guarding your path, guarding your way. You are truly guarding your very life. Two men were working on the same construction site, and each day at lunchtime, they would open up their lunchbox and each would take out a sandwich. And one of the guys would reach in his lunchbox and take out a sandwich and unwrap it and say, "Yuck, bologna. I hate bologna." And this went on day after day, week after week. Each day he would take out his sandwich, open it up, look at it and say, "Bologna. Oh, I hate bologna." Well, finally his coworker couldn't take it any longer. And he said to him, "You know, if you hate bologna so much, then why don't you ask your wife to make you a different kind of sandwich?" And to this he replied, "Oh, I'm not married. I make the sandwiches myself." The moral of the story is, most of the bologna in our lives, we put there ourselves. We don't guard our way, so we end up on dangerous highways. We don't make provision for the journey, so we end up traveling routes that tempt us and entice us to evil and sin. Much of the baloney in our lives is our own making. We put it there ourselves. Something I shared a number of years ago in a sermon is one of the most practical pieces of wisdom I've seen on this particular principle. You may be familiar with it. I think it's something that could be read once or twice a year, every year. It's from the essay by Portia Nelson entitled Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Listen to this wisdom. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. But my eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. Walking down another street is one of the most effective ways of dealing with potential problems and hazards on the street that lead us potentially into sin or evil. The best way to avoid things that are on that street is to avoid the street itself. Till you and I are willing to stay away from the sins that so easily entangle us, and until we learn to avoid situations that make it difficult for us to say no to sin, then we are really not living out the wisdom of this proverb. The highway of the upright avoids evil, and he who guards his way guards his life. Now, verse 18, at first glance, doesn't really seem to be related to verse 17, but I think it is. It says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. One way we end up in a mess is by not traveling on the upright highway. We move through life, and there are road signs that appear, like wrong way, do not enter, dangerous curve, dead end, flash flood ahead. But we keep on traveling the same road just the same. Eventually, we find ourselves in a situation that we could have escaped if we had simply taken a different road. I think there are three kinds of people that travel on roads other than the upright highway: the self-centered, the self-deluded, and the self-righteous. The self-centered are the majority. These are people that don't really care about the highway of the upright. They have better things to do than be concerned about what God wants, or God's will, or God's way. If there's something that they want in life, and it happens to be on a certain road, they go for it. Doesn't make any difference. Even if there are consequences, they can worry about them later. And there are, and they do. The self-deluded are those who don't really believe there's danger ahead. They ignore the warnings. They disregard the signs. You know, pretty much every time I travel a significant distance on the interstates, I inevitably come to those wonderful little interludes called work zones. You've seen them, I know. Areas of road repair and construction. And at these work zones, virtually every time, the speed limit is reduced. Have you noticed that? Now, you may think it's quaint or archaic, but I actually drive the speed limit, even on long trips. That's why it takes me forever to get there. Now, occasionally, I may push it up to 68, but usually, it's right around 65. So I'm doing 65 on the highway, and cars are passing me on my left going 70, 80, 90. Then we come to one of those work zones where the speed limit drops down to like 45. Now, do you think this guy going 90 is going to slow down in this rocket on wheels that he's driving? Do you think he's concerned that it says fines doubled in work zones? Do you think he cares that there's a 15-ton truck crossing the highway up ahead? No, he just keeps right on flying. He is one of the self-deluded. He is fooled into thinking that there's no danger driving like a maniac. Someday he'll find out that there is. I was driving back from Delaware a couple of weeks ago, and in my rearview mirror, I saw a guy coming up in a car that must have been approaching the sound barrier. He was flying. I mean, I looked in my mirror, and he was a little dot, and a couple of seconds later, I looked back, and he was right there. I didn't know what he thought he was going to do when he reached me, because directly in front of me were two cars, side by side, on the only two lanes that the government had allotted for us on that particular road. But not to worry, he flies back past me and then goes between the two cars on the two lanes. He didn't realize that there was no third lane that had been set aside just for his use. There's a third group called the self-righteous. These are the few, the proud, but they're not Marines. They're not concerned about the danger ahead at all. Not because they're deluded, but because they're prideful. They're so prideful they believe that nothing can touch them. They feel immune to normal mortal dangers. But no human is immune to evil or its effects. In fact, being prideful is a sure way to have problems. That's why it says pride goes before destruction. That is, pride precedes destruction. If you're prideful, look out, because it's coming. A haughty spirit also precedes a fall. Now, we're all subject to pride. It's part of being human. Winston Churchill was aware of his inclination to pride, and once he was asked, "Doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing?" "It is quite flattering," replied Churchill. "But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that instead of making a speech, if I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big." John Ortberg tells the story of a CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to buy gas. He went inside to pay, and then when he came out, he noticed that his wife was engaged in a deep discussion with a service station attendant. It turned out she knew him, and before she had met her eventual husband, she even dated this man. Well, the CEO got back into the car, and he and his wife drove on in silence for a while. But the man was feeling pretty good about himself when he finally spoke. He said, "I bet I know what you were thinking. I bet you were thinking, you're glad you married me, Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a service station attendant." "No," said the wife, "I was thinking that if I'd married him, he'd be a Fortune 500 CEO, and you'd be a service station attendant." Let me give you three reasons for not being prideful. First, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you were prideful, you can pretty much mark it down that you're at odds with God, because he opposes the proud. Second, there is no justification for human pride. Everything we have and everything we are is by grace. And third, pride is a prelude to problems. It precedes destruction, and it precedes falls. Now, at one time or another, I think all of us have been each of these three: self-centered, self-deluded, and self-righteous. The goal is to not stay there for very long. So, the wisdom of God's word tells us that we should travel the highway of the upright and avoid other roads. Now, there's always a temptation to take other roads that lead us to no place that God wants us to go. It's always a struggle. It's a perennial struggle. Now, you might be thinking, but the Bible says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And that's true. But the Bible also says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Bible says God is able to do immeasurably more than all I ask or imagine. That's true. But the Bible also says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. We live in a tension between these two realities. On one hand, God is in charge. On the other hand, we are in charge. I think we know the difference. Two of the most important things, I believe, to take from these verses. First, realize that the roads that you travel determine where you end up. So the advice, the wisdom, is to travel the upright highway when confronted with a choice. Second, no one is immune to a fall. In fact, when we begin to feel just a little bit too confident, that's when we're most vulnerable. Good principles to know, good warnings to heed, good directions for our journey in the 21st century. Let's pray. Lord, again, we are thankful for the practical wisdom of your word and for the reminder of how important it is that we recognize that if we travel a certain direction and we travel on certain roads, they will inevitably lead us somewhere. We have been warned and counseled and advised to remember that the upright travel on highways that don't entice them or lead them into evil. May we remember that. And may we remember how important it is to guard our way, to make provision so that the way we're traveling is not harmful or dangerous, at least to the degree that we can. And we know there are things we have no control over, but this proverb isn't talking about those things. And may we realize what a danger it is to become prideful, to think that we are self-made or that we are masters of our own fates. Lord, you are sovereign. And we know that you are opposed to the proud, but give grace to the humble. So again, thank you for the wisdom of your word. May we not just understand it, but may we apply it and live it out. We ask it in Jesus' name. And by his strength, we ask it. Amen.